Amen. We do thank you for your giving. Let us bow our heads and let's pray over this preaching moment. We will do it briefly. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, bless this preaching moment. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, with your Bibles in your hands, let's take some time to repeat after me. Somebody declare this boldly. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise this morning. Glory to God. It's so wonderful to see all of you here this morning. So today we are going to, I'm not for sure if I'm going to turn it into a series, but at least right now, this is going to be the first sermon, maybe the last, not sure. But it's called Money Movers. Money Movers. Some people, especially in the new year, they want to make money moves. And there's nothing wrong with making money moves and being a money mover. Many times the money is going out of our hand, but we want to kind of reverse that, where we're not only just giving, losing, and sending money, but we are moving money in a way that benefits us personally. There is nothing wrong with you having money. You can be saved and have money. Just because you're broke doesn't mean you're more spiritual than the next person. So there's nothing wrong with having money, but that will not be my focus on today. We're going to be having a different focus. And so let me just read some scripture to help you know where we're going. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19, I will read this. It says, do not store up riches for yourself. I'm going to give them a minute to bring it up. Matthew 6, 19, 21. Do not store up riches for yourselves here on earth, where moths and rust destroy and robbers break in and steal. Instead, store up riches for yourselves in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and robbers cannot break in and steal. So let me say what I said again. There's nothing wrong with having money. You can be saved and have money. But when it gets to the point where all you think is storing up your money, you might be missing something, because the Bible says it's more important to be storing up riches for yourself in heaven. In other words, your money should not be pulling you away from God. Your money should help you get closer to God. Money is neither good nor bad. It is an inanimate object. It's what you do with it that makes money good or bad. I can take money and bless a homeless person, and I can take money to the strip club. It's the same money. But what I do with it changes the dynamic of the money. So what God says, what you ought to be doing, you ought to be storing up riches in heaven. There ought to be a focus that money is the lowest form of riches. Money is riches, but it is the lowest form of riches. The highest form of riches is the spiritual and the heavenly things. So right now, many of you use your money for spiritual things. What do you mean? You took your gas and you drove to the house of God. The clothes that you put on, they were not cheap. The clothes that you put on, you had to buy them at some point in time. And so when you put those clothes on and you drove to the house of God, you were spending money for the things of God. And God says, I look at that, and that is important to me, because you are prioritizing me over everything else. Now, not everybody does that. Some people, their priorities are mismatched and misplaced. And here's the reason why, not just because God wants you to store up things in heaven, but here's the reason why. And let's look at verse 21. It says this, for your heart will always be where your riches are. Here's the problem, is your heart will follow your riches. And so if you only have the lowest form of riches, which is money, your heart will only be where money is. Have you ever had a good friendship until money got involved? Ever had a good partnership until money got along? As long as y'all were building the business plan, everything was good as long as the business was struggling. But once the business made some money, folks get to changing, get to acting funny, get to acting different, because people will prove to you where their heart is. You know, siblings who were ace, boom, coon, they were down with each other when the mama died. And when the father dies, you find out that it wasn't really blood, wasn't thicker than water, because once the wheel came out and they get to fighting, you find out people change because their heart is tied to the lowest form of riches. So what God says, put your heart on the highest form of riches, which is seeking after God. And this is what the Bible says. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will come. There's nothing wrong with having all these things, but prioritize your life where God is first. And the things of God is first. That way your heart will follow those things. So, having said that, this money mover message is all about, centered around, giving to the things of God. Oh, here go the preacher talking about giving. Yes, I am. Because I don't control what God gives me. I just take what God gives me and I share it. But I want to do it in a way that will bless us. And so let's give us some definition of our offering. And now you've already given. So I'm not trying to get more out of you. You've already gave what you were going to give. I'm not lifting another offering at the end. So go ahead and chill out and just listen. Let's look at what the first definition says. This is from the Oxford Dictionary. It says, a thing offered, especially as a gift or contribution. Let me pause and infer this or say this. If you are being manipulated into giving, it's not an offering. If you're being browbeat into giving, it's not an offering. Offering is something that is given from your free will. It is a contribution. All right, let's look at another one. We got three, so let's go to the second one. Offering, a thing offered as a religious sacrifice or token of devotion. Now we're getting down into that heart thing. It's tied to several religions, not just the Christian religion. Many religions have offerings, because the way it works is if your heart is tied into the devotion, sacrifice is just a normal part of devotion. Whatever you're devoted to, you will sacrifice for. Amen. If you're devoted to the gym, you will sacrifice time to go to the gym. Amen. If you're devoted to losing weight, you'll cut back on things. You will sacrifice sweets in order to lose weight. Here's the thing. Offering is just tied in to wherever your devotion is. Amen. So if you are devoted to the things of God, sacrificing for the things of God just becomes natural. You don't have to tell people to do it. You don't have to ask people to do it. It becomes part of their natural devotion, especially when it's a religious thing. Because here's the thing. I don't really know how I can pay God for all he's done for me. I really can't. The scripture says, what shall I render unto God for all his mercies? I can't. And so the small things that I do, any sacrifice that I do, it's not really that much based on what he's done for me. Now, this is about all religions. All religions have some level of sacrifice, but we are the only religion where the person that we serve sacrificed for us. No other religion did their purveyor die for the people, but my Savior died for me. So any little thing that I'm asked to sacrifice, it really ain't that much. Now, my children, this is not a good example because I'm nowhere near as sacrificial as Jesus, but let's just take it in my house and in my home. because the utilities are paid, the gas is paid, the water is on, and because the mortgage is paid and the heat is on, for me to tell my child to pick up their socks, this shouldn't be any back talk. That's a minimal thing for all that they get. And I'm grateful I don't have to deal with kids who talk back, because I'm not that Holy Ghost filled. I might pop a child. I don't know. I'm gentle parenting. I don't know nothing about gentle parenting. But thank God I don't have to deal with that. But it's some part of my children understand that all daddy has done for me, the least I can do is do what he's asking me to do. So when God begins to ask things from you, you find out how devoted you are, whether you get an attitude or not. Let's move into our third one. Here's the third and last one of offering. Here it is. A contribution, especially of money, to a church. Now, this is not my definition. This is from Oxford English Dictionary. And so it says specifically money to a church. That is a form of offering and devotion. Well, this is, I get this a couple times a year. People send this to me, and this is what they'll say. If money is the root of all evil, why do churches keep asking for it? Well, you haven't read your Bible. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, an improper relationship with money is the root of all evil. But money itself is not evil. Asking for money is not evil. Donating money is not evil. But here's the thing. The only people who get dogged about it is the church. Walmart asks you for your money. McDonald's asks you for your money. Well, Pastor, when I give my money to McDonald's, they give me a hamburger. Okay. Okay. But how about this? The PTO asks for your money. When you go to the school, they send you money for this, money for that. Here come the child. You got to sell candles. Everybody wants your money. The whole nonprofit system is based on donations. So why is it only the church gets talked about for wanting donations? It is a simple rule that if you do not charge, donations are a nice thing to have. Let me add this on top of the world that we live in now. They don't even do much for you and they'll ask. Now, when I go to the restaurant and you serve me, I don't mind tipping you. I don't mind that at all. But just the other day, I went to Chipotle and they were out of chips. It bothered me. I was like, man, I want some chips. So I went over to Chili's and I went into the carryout and I got chips from Chili's. And so they gave me my chips, and on there it offered me to offer a tip. All you did was grab a bag of chips and put them in my hand. I ain't tipping you for that. You ain't worked that hard to get a tip. But that didn't stop them from asking. But everybody asks, but if the church asks, somehow we doing something wrong. Oh, there they go. There they go with that money stuff. Everybody wants your money. Yes. But here's the thing. Everybody don't deserve your money. Now, here's the thing. McDonald's, the PTO, Chipotle, whoever, when you get sick, are they going to show up at the hospital? When you get sick, are they going to pray for you? When you decide you want to get married, are they going to show up at the wedding? When you have a baby, are they going to throw you a baby shower? The church will do all that for you, and they're the only place that gets dogged out for asking for something back. But now, if you come into the church and it's cold, you fuss that it's cold. You come into the church and it's hot, you fuss that it's hot. You come into the church and there's holes in the parking lot, you fuss that there's holes in the parking lot. Well, that stuff don't magically appear. It takes something to get that. Now, many of you guys already understand that, but I'm just talking and I'm just sharing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9 and 6.
Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully.
It's just a normal principle. The stingier you are, the worse things flow for you. Here's the thing. Let me just give you an example. I'm going to hold my fist like this. Nothing can get out, but nothing can get in either. See, an open hand, it releases, but it also can receive. And the good thing for us is you can't beat God giving. All right, so let's move to the next verse, verse 7.
Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Not grudgingly, but, and most people focus on the not grudgingly part, and they focus on the cheerful giving part, but the scripture says not under compulsion. Now, some of y'all were under compulsion back in the day, and you didn't know it. What do you mean? Well, we need 54 more dollars, and ain't nobody moving till we get it. The service can't go on till we get the extra 54. That's compulsion. You're not supposed to be manipulated into a gift. The scripture says you're supposed to do it in your heart. You're supposed to decide in your heart. Now, let me say this. In my own personal life, very few times, it has happened, but very few times have I made up in my heart, and once I got to the house of God, God asked me for less. It has happened, but most of the times, I thought I was going to give this and end up giving that. I remember one time I had $40 in my pocket. I hadn't eaten. I was going to another church. And so I'm going to put 20 in the offering. And that ain't no bad offering. That's a decent offering. I'm going to put 20 in the offering. And I'm going to keep 20 back. Well, when the offering time got ready to start, I heard God say, give 40. I'm like, the devil is a lie. Come on, that can't be God. He ain't asking for everything. But every now and then, he asks you for everything because he wants to test where your love is. If you can't let it go, you love it too much.
Hallelujah.
So I gave the 20 and I gave the 40. But God is training. He'll train you in this so that you can get it right. Let's go to verse 8. And here's the point that needs to be made.
And read God it. Is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed.
God says, all I want you to do is start the process. But really what I want to do, I want to be the infiller so that you always have an abundance to give to every need. One thing that's very important is that when a need arises, it's always beautiful when you know you can meet the need. Many of us are praying for the LA fires. Not only are we praying for the LA fires, but we think about what it would be like for us. And many of us, if we could help, we would help, but it would take a lot to pay for all the damage that is going on. Now, this is not in my notes. I just got to add this. 2025 has started off with a bang in a negative way. If I was you, I would not be walking away from God right now. This is, and I don't believe this is accidental. I don't believe the fires are accidental. We know New Orleans was not accidental. We know the blowing up in front of the Trump Tower is not accidental. People are losing their mind. This is not the time not to be locked into God. All right, so let's move on and let's talk about four types of givers. I'm going to lay this out to four types of givers, and we're really going to focus on the fourth one. The other three, we're going to touch on them. Not going to give a whole lot, but we're going to park it on the fourth one. So let's start with the first one. First one is very simple. First type of giver, they can do and they will do. Just simple. They can give and they will give. You don't have to talk to them about offerings. You don't have to preach about offerings. You don't have to share the need. Some people are so observant. They can see a need before you even tell that there's a need. They are can do and will do people. I'm just going to show up. I'm just going to drop something off on your doorstep. I'm just going to hook you up. I got a coupon that I'm not going to use. I'm just going to give it to you. Just if I see somebody and it's a single mother and they got seven kids with this single mother, just common knowledge ought to know that's not the easiest thing to handle. So just to shake some money in their hand or make sure she's okay, that's just simple wisdom. And there are givers like that. If they can do, they will do. It's just that simple. And if you run into a real giver, one thing about a real giver, it's hard to get them to receive. Because they give so much. All they know is to give. They're just triggered to give. You almost have to trick them to receive. I remember a time me and Devin had some friends of ours, and they are givers. And so we had to tell, we all went out to eat, and we had to tell the waiter ahead of time that we are going to pay the bill, and then we are going to sneak out. We had to tell them we got somewhere we had to go. But we had to trick them in order to pay the bill. Because givers will fight over the bill. No, I want to take it. No, you take it. No, I'm going to take it. But when you get with a bunch of broke, stingy folk, they'll fight over the bill. All I had was water. I saw you with a cocktail. You talking about all you had was water? No. And so sometimes this is what I do. When we sit down, is I'm paying for me and them four. I don't care if the waiter don't want to know. I need to tell y'all right up front, because some people, they don't want to do right. But those who can do, will do. That's a great type of giver. We're not going to talk too much about that, but let's give a verse that will correspond. Isaiah 1:19, read that.
If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land.
Just willing and obedient. The Bible says you'll eat the good of the land. You don't have to twist their arm. They're just willing. I've got some givers like that in that church. I got some volunteers like that in the church that I tell them, just sit this one out. Because they'll work, they'll do. They love the church so much. They love to serve so much that you got to make them sit down. Other folk, you can't find them when the work starts. They don't mind showing up for the function, but as soon as it's time to clean up or put up or fix up, they gotta go. But you don't fuss at those people. You just deal with the ones who can do and will do. Let's go to number two. This is the negative side. These are the can do but won't do. You don't fuss with them kind of people because they ain't. They ain't going to do it. They got an attitude. They woke up with an attitude. They going to keep an attitude. They can do, but they won't do. Some of y'all women, you're dating men who are can do, but won't do. You're dropping hints on what you want for your birthday. Ain't no need you dropping hints because they not going to do it. You done made it too comfortable for them because you always take them back and they not going to do. You got to be careful with dealing with people who can do but won't do. Those who they have the means to, they have the resources to, they're just not going to do. They just, I don't want to do. And you're going to have to deal with people like that. Sometimes there are people like that on your job. You're working next to them and you know this is not my job. This is your job. You can do, but you won't do. And sometimes it makes the other person have to step up and do more because I don't want the bosses have to come down. I don't want to have to deal with all that. So now I got to do my work and some of your work, not because I've done anything wrong. It's just because you can do, but you won't do. Can do, but won't do, people, they get under your skin. They'll irritate you. Yeah, they're lazy. They're selfish. They're all kinds of things. And so sometimes you do have to distance yourself from can do, won't do people. Sometimes in order to figure it out, you have to investigate. Because some of the can do will pretend they can't do to get you to do. So sometimes you got to ask questions. Well, can you take care of my light bill? Oh, sweetheart, baby, yes, I can. And I'll take care of your light bill, and the next week you in Miami. Wait a second. How'd you get to Miami so quick? Did you plan that ahead of time? See, you could do, and you didn't do because you wanted someone else to do. Get rid of the can-do but won't-do people out of your life because it'll give you unnecessary frustration. But here's what the scripture says. So 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Let's see what 1:20 says in Isaiah. Read that.
But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Here's one thing about can do but won't do people. Eventually, they'll get on your nerves, but eventually they get on God's nerves. And then God will come and he will deal. So you don't really have, don't fight them, don't fuss with them. Just make up in your mind, I'm going to make some distance because God's going to deal. Because God don't like, because here's the thing, God gives breath freely to everybody. He gives breath and puts breath in your body, and you're going to take his breath and treat people wrong. God is, he's patient. He's loving. He's trying to get people to change. But once, there's an old song that says, when a woman is fed up, she fed up. But baby, when God is fed up, that's a whole different story. So get you some distance from those people. Now, let's talk about these people. These are a different type of, this is point number three, or giver type three. These are would do, but can't do. See, these people, it's hard for them because if they could, they would. You know, I've had a lot of people in this church say, Pastor, I wish you didn't have to go and work at another job. If it was up to me, I'd pull you off the job. Pastor, don't tell anybody, but if I hit the lottery, I'm pulling you off the job. Because if I could do, I would do. God appreciates those people. You may not be able to, but just having a mind to be able to, that means something. Back in the day when I was younger and the older mothers, they would say something that I didn't understand, but it caught up with me later in life, especially when I was walking away from God. I heard them say, if you don't want to be saved right now, ask God for a mind to be saved. In other words, if you don't feel like you can do it, at least ask God for the want to, for the mind to do it. And I remember coming off of being drunk one time, and one time I said, God, just give me a mind. I didn't know that he was doing it. But there are people, they have a mind to give even when they can't give. And what I want you, if you're in that position, don't be embarrassed when you can't, but you want to. This person gave $1,000 to the church. This person gave $1,000 to the church. This person gave $1,000 to the church. This person gave 10. But if you wanted to give 1,000, don't be embarrassed because of your 10, because God looks on the heart. The Bible says man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks on the heart. So there are people who would do, but they can't do. Now, everybody gets in a can't do situation unless you're a billionaire and you just come from money. Everybody gets in a situation where I want to do, but I can't. And so here's one thing that I would tell to the can't people who would do but can't do. Can't nobody stop you from praying. I may not be able to give to the fire victims, but I can pray for the fire victims. I may not be able to give to this and to that, but I can pray for it. I may not be able to take Pastor Andre off the job, but I can pray for him while he's on the job. So have the heart and the mind to be a giver. And here's the thing, even though we're talking about money, money is not the only way you can give. I can't give money, but I can give a smile. I can't give money, but I can give a text. How you doing, Pastor Andre? I hope you're safe coming home from the wintry roads. That means something to me. Maybe it's not $1,000, but the prayer and the text means something, because the would do but can't do, those are some important, special people. So don't be embarrassed if you're that person. So let's look at something, 2 Corinthians 8 and 12.
For if the willingness is there.
The what?
Willingness.
The willingness is there.
The gift is acceptable according to what one has.
Do you hear what it says? It says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what you have. In other words, if you're willing to give 1,000, but all you can give is 10, God says, I accept that. And how do we know that? Because he looked at the woman who only gave 2 pennies and said she gave more than anyone because her heart was so willing. All right, let's finish that verse in its entirety.
For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have.
There's an old saying, you can't get blood out of a turnip. If there's no blood in the turnip, you just can't get it out. You come with me tomorrow. Come, anybody, come with me tomorrow to my bank, and we're going to ask for $1,000,000. And we're going to just be sitting there, standing there. Because there's not $1,000,000 in there, so we can't get $1,000,000 out. So if you can't,
but you want to. Don't be defeated by what you can't do. Do what you can do.
The problem is when you get tricked, I won't do anything because I can't do something. No,
do what you can do, because it all takes something for us to be what we need to be.
Now, here's the one we're going to park and spend some time on. Here's the fourth one. It's interesting. Let's put it up here. These are the can't do, but still do. This is a different level. You can't do, but you still do. You can't do, but you find a way to do. It's not just that I would do if I could do. I know I can't do, but I can't be stopped. I'm a giver at my core. I'm a giver at my heart. I'm going to find a way to do what I can't do. Because I am almost a third generation preacher, I've grown up in the preacher's home. There were times that there was, back in the day when it was paper, there were times that there were food stamps in the offering. I can't give what I want to give, but I'm going to do something, because you're not going to stop me from giving. Pastor, I'm on WIC. My father at the time, he loved milk. Pastor, I'm on WIC, and I'm going to get some of this WIC milk, and I'm dropping it by your house, because even though I can't do, I'm still going to do, because there's something down in my heart. You can't stop a giver from giving, even when they can't do. All right, so let's look at 2 Corinthians 8:2. We were in 8:12. We're going to back up and read.
They have been severely tested by the troubles they went through, but their joy was so great that they were extremely generous in their giving, even though they are very poor.
It's hard to have that in the same sentence. Extremely generous and very poor. Normally, when you hear extremely generous, you would think extremely wealthy. But they were extremely generous and extremely poor, which means they couldn't do, but they found a way to do, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is.
Let's back this up and put it in something we can understand. We just came out of the Christmas season. There are times where I don't know how I'm going to make Christmas work for my kids. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to eat. I don't know what we're going to have. But they find a way, because they love the children so much. If I got to pick up extra hours, if I got to shovel snow, if I got to knock on doors, I can't do, but I still do, because my love is so high. If you can love children like that, can you love God enough to say, I can't do, but I still will do? All right, let's move on. Let's see how this played out. Verse 3.
I can assure you that they gave as much as they could, and even more than they could, of their own free will.
Nobody forced them to do it. They were extremely poor. What was happening was there was a church in Judea that was going through a crisis. And these were new believers and new Christians. And they were so grateful for their newfound Christianity that they wanted to help the believers over in Judea, but they didn't have anything. They had been through great trouble. But the Bible says even though they were extremely poor, they were extremely generous, and they found a way to give what they could. And Paul says they even gave more than they should have been given based on where they were. But when you have a high level of gratitude, you just can't stop a person from giving.
Amen.
All right, let's go on for verse 4.
They begged us and pleaded for the privilege of having a part in helping God's people in Judea.
Paul didn't say we had to beg them to give. Paul said they begged us so that they could participate. Because what Paul was going to say, no, y'all don't have to do it. Y'all done been through enough. No, don't leave us out. We want to do. See, when a giver is a giver, you can't stop them from giving. Let's look at verse 5.
It was more than we could have hoped for. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then, by God's will, they gave themselves to us as
Paul
well.
Paul gives the key. The only reason
reason why they were able to do this, even though they were extremely poor, and how they were able to be extremely generous is because the Bible says they gave themselves to the Lord first. And when you give yourself to the Lord, he helps you do what you can't even do because he works through you. Yeah. And you get excited to do because you realize this is the Lord's doing. So I couldn't have done this by myself. I couldn't have helped them by myself. But somehow God helped me to help them. Have you ever heard somebody pray this prayer? Lord, bless me to be a blessing. See, if I hook up with God, if I hook up with the giver, he'll give through me even when I'm going through a hard time. Let me pause and say, Deliver Simple, we've been doing that because we have been in a grieving season. But even though we've been in a grieving season, we've still been loving folk. We've still been taking care of things. Lady Devon was telling us in our staff meeting how we help people at Christmas time. We still are being a light to other people, even though we've had rough times. Because when you have God on your side, he helps you be more than you could ever be by yourself. Amen. Now, go ahead and put this up. I'm going to go ahead and give you just a testimony. Quick testimony, my story. So I had a friend of mine who is a pastor in another city, and he comes down sick. And I see on Facebook that he's going through some treatments, going through some chemo treatments. And automatically that means that he's got cancer. So last time I seen him, he was perfectly well. He had some issues with his kidneys. He had me to pray for his kidneys. He sent me a message and say, I didn't get the report from the doctor that I wanted, but I'm still trusting God. Would you pray for me? I was like, oh, man. And the next thing I see him on Facebook, and he's at chemo. Like, dang, this happened real quick. Found out he ends up having cancer. He's a pastor, and it just touched my heart. So I seen that he was at chemo, and so I just sent some money to his Cash App. Sent it as a one-time thing. It wasn't a lot, but it was just a way to say, hey, I see what you're going through, and I'm praying, and just if I could just do something. I just felt like giving something. And so I did that, and then the next day I seen that he was back in treatment. And then he wrote that it was a three-time treatment. And something in my spirit says, the same money you gave him the first day, give him every day of the treatment. Now, it wasn't a lot of money, but as it began to add up, it ended up being quite a bit, but it was only like three treatments. So I was like, that's not that bad. So I sent the three Cash Apps. Later on, he's back in. He's got another round of three, but now I don't have the extra money to give. And I was like, God, I really wish I could give, but I don't think I can. I know I can't because I'm tapped out. I got other stuff going on. And I'm also thinking, but he don't mind. I've already given. But something in me was like, why don't you try? Just try. So by faith, I sent him the same amount that I sent before by Cash App. But when I went into my Cash App, two people had Cash App me from this church. And now all I needed to do was add $5 to pay this thing for him. And I was like, God, and I reached out and I told one of them, I was like, I want you to know what you sent me. I was able to send it to someone else who is struggling. And I was like, thank God. But then he had two more treatments. And I'm like, I really don't have the money to send, but I'm gonna pray for him. I was sitting at the tire shop because I had to get a tire taken care of. I was sitting at the tire shop and I got a random call from somebody. And they was like, Pastor Andre, I want you to check your Cash App. And they had sent me money. This person had owed me money. So this is what happened with this person. I believe in 2021, they asked me for some money. I sent it to them. And then when they got ready to pay me back, I said, you don't owe me. 2022, the same thing happened. They asked me for some money. I sent it to them. When they got ready to pay me back, I said, you don't owe me. 2023, they asked me for some money. I said, this time I need it back. Told them up front, need it back. I'm generous and I'm a giver, but if I don't have it, I just don't have it. So I don't have it to give. I need it back. They didn't give it back. Not only did they not give it back, I couldn't find them. They stopped talking. Just poof, puff the magic dragon, gone. All 24, ain't got nothing back. This person calls me the 12:30. It was December 3rd. It calls me and they said, I'm sorry that it took so long. Thank you for being patient. I put something in your Cash App. When I went to it, they gave me more than what I had given them because it took them so long to give it back. I had written it off. I knew I wasn't getting that money back. But it came, and it was enough to give the other two payments to the person that I wanted to give to. I couldn't do, but I still did, and God stepped in and made up the difference. So I'm trying to let you know that even when you can't do, if you make up in your mind that I'm going to still do, that's when God can step in and do what you didn't know he could do. All right, let's move into this. This is our last section of verses. This is a important scripture because it ties in what I just told you. Read this.
Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land.
This is Elijah, time of Elijah. Elijah was, it was famine time, and Elijah was beside the brook, and ravens were bringing him food. He was being sustained by the ravens, but the brook dried up. I need to let you know that in everybody's season, you go through a dry up season. I don't care how saved you are, I don't care how Christian you are. Like I said, unless you are from extreme billion-dollar wealth, everybody going to hit a dry-up season. And so, and that's in the, before I go on, don't make fun of somebody else when they're in their dry-up season because you don't know when your brook going to dry up. So you always have to be careful of that. And so this is what happens to Elijah. The brook dried up. Let's go to verse 8. It's on that same slide.
Then the word of the Lord came to him.
The word of the Lord came. So what do you think God's going to say? I'm going to fill the brook up. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to cause a tsunami of water to drop out the sky. God, what you going to do? You would feed me by ravens. Maybe chickens going to show up. I don't know. God, you're going to make a way. Let's see what happens in verse 9.
Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food.
Hold on. The brook dried up. You would think God said, I'm going to fill the brook or go to the king. The king going to take you. God told Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath because I got a widow there. Now, normally in those days, widows didn't have a lot of means, but maybe he going to send me to a rich widow. Lisa, okay, God, I'm trusting you. You're going to send me to a rich widow. The Bible says she's going to supply you with food, okay? Let's work this thing out. Go to verse 10.
So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?
Soon as I show up at the gate, there's a widow woman there. This got to be the woman. So let me test this thing out. Hey, sweetheart, can you go get me some water? Let's see if God is in this blessing business. All right, let's look at verse 11.
As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread.
Just in case. Just in case it's the widow God talking about while she on her way to get some water. Oh, by the way, can I get a piece of bread? Can I get some pound cake with some caramel? Just hook a brother up. All right, let's look at verse 12.
As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread.
What?
Only a handful of flour in a jar. And a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.
God, of all the widows you can send me to, you send me to the one widow who's on her last drop. If this was the era of Facebook, they would talk about Elijah like a dog. Look at him going and trying to get something from this widow who don't have anything. But the scripture says she didn't have nothing. She was getting ready to die, but she had a little oil. Oh, I'm here to let you know, saints, if you still got a little oil, you're not going to be left out. If you still got a little anointing, God still can turn a situation around. If you still got a little prayer life, God can make a thing work. If you still got a little joy, God can turn a situation around. You ain't got to have a lot. You just need a little. But what I like about this widow, she was already reserved. This is it. But she's still moving on about her day. I'm still going and gathering sticks. I'm about to go. This is about to end. But I'm giving my best effort. I don't like people who put in minimum effort. This lady was on her last and she was still giving it all she got. And she met the man of God at the right time. The problem was the man of God was empty and so was she. Bumping to each other, it seemed like at the wrong time. And she said, I'm going to die. And so we know, being Elijah, being a man of God, he was like, I'm sorry, sweetheart, I ain't going to bother you. You already got it rough enough. Let's read it, what it says, verse 13.
Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son.
Elijah, did you not hear what the lady said? That we getting ready to die. This is our last meal. And you got the nerve and the unmitigated gall to say, give me something first. But the first thing he said was, don't be afraid. See, Elijah knew, even though God, you sent me to the brokest widow in the land, God, you still, see, because this is what Elijah understood. You've already fed me by ravens. If you can feed me by ravens, you can take a broke widow and you can change my life. So I'm not going to change your word because the situation looks worse. Let me pause and say that to you. Many of us, we change our faith because the situation looks worse than what we thought. When God told us to start the business, the economy was high. But when we got in the middle of it, the bottom dropped out. And it looks like God's not going to turn it around. But God specializes when your back is up against the wall. But the question is, will you still do what he asked you to do? I just saw Sister Kelly stand up while I'm preaching. She was just praising while I'm preaching. But she can tell you how there were nights she thought I'd never be married again. But somehow in 2024, God turned a situation around. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how rough it looks. When God's word is over your life and you got a little oil, nothing is over. It's not over till the fat lady sings. And listen, the fat lady got the mic in her hand. She's going through me, 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 me. She ready to sing. But God still has the final say-so over my life and over your life. All right. So he says, just take care of the man of God first. It's a possibility that somebody's life would change if they would prioritize the man of God and the word of God and the house of God, even when they're going through rough times. That's why I love some of the saints at Deliverance Temple. Y'all been in some rough times and you still come back to the house of God. You still give to the house of God. You still check on the pastor and his wife. You're saying, I may be going through hell and high water, but I'm not giving up on the things of God. All right, so let's look at verse 14. He goes on to say, what?
For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.
In other words, what he said is like, the famine is not going in, but I believe God's going to bless you supernaturally Because you stepped out and obeyed the voice of God and the word of God in the worst time. This was the worst woman God could have sent him to. But here's the thing. God is up to something. And 2025 doesn't look good for out there for the people who don't know God. But for the people who do know God, I'm here to let you know God is up to something. Somebody say that. Say, God, you're up to something. I may not be able to figure it out, but God, you're up to something. Elijah said, I believe that what you have is going to consistently be supplied. In other words, he said, you're going to go from not enough to more than enough with one act of obedience. This is a can't do, but I'm asking you to still do. All right. So let's read verse 15.
She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family.
Hold on. She had one set of dough left for me and my son. We're going to eat it, and it's over for us. But the Bible says she had now, she got enough for her, for Elijah too, for the son, and then it says, and for her family. So now the extended family can come and eat, because when we eat, we all eat. When God bless one of us, he blesses all of us. God turned the situation around, but he took somebody who couldn't do, but would still do. See, God knows the right person to ask. Who? Here's the thing. This is the worst person to ask, but she had nothing to lose. He didn't say, give me all of it. He said, just take a little of it and give it to me first. There's something called the law of first fruits. And what the law of first fruits says, if the first is blessed, the whole is blessed. And that's why some of y'all, even though you are givers, you're not as blessed as you could be, because you give God what's left. You pay everything, you go everywhere, and what you got left, you put it to the house of God. But some people are blessed because they carve theirs out first. Before I spend it, because I know how I am, I'll be getting venti, Starbucks, I'll be everywhere. So let me pull something out so that God has his, because even though I like my Starbucks and my Seven Brew, Starbucks and Seven Brew didn't put breath in my body. So let me take something out first. For God, because God is first. And God says, if you put me first, I guarantee you'll never be last. Amen. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah, for the woman and her family. Last verse. Verse 16, read that.
For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah.
So they would take from it, but it would never diminish. I prophesy to somebody, you're going to be withdrawing from accounts that don't seem to diminish. I took from this to pay this, but when I went back to this, it was something still there. Because when God puts his hand on your stuff, but here's the thing, you got to be a can't do, but still do. So let's go through it again. We're closing. Go ahead and put this up. We're going to do a recap. Here's a recap. There's the can do and will do. That's great, and that's the easiest. Then there's the can do but won't do. That is no good, and hopefully you're not like that. Then there's the would do but can't do. We want you to be blessed too. But number four and the final one, there's the can't do but still do. And so here it is, and this will close it up. And this is the final concluding words. Here it is. Faith plus finances is how miracles happen. I'm talking about money movers. But in this season, if you want money to move in the right way, not only are you need finances, but you're going to need faith plus finance. In other words, you're going to have to stretch yourself and give beyond what is possible to give just to see, can God come through? Some of y'all gonna have to make up in your mind, this is what I'm gonna give to Deliverance Temple this year. Well, yeah, I'm going to give 35. Well, anybody can do that, sweetheart. You're going to have to stretch yourself, not because I said it, but because you might be the widow in the story and you might trigger a supernatural blessing that will cause you and your family to eat whenever the famine was. Now, this is what's interesting. I know I said that was my last words, but let me add this. What's interesting is it doesn't seem to suggest that after the famine ended, that they still had the same blessing. This blessing was for the famine times. And I want to tell you, I don't want to scare you. I want to prophesy to you. And I'm going to say it again. This is not going to be an easy year for the world. But for those of us who are in the hand of God, we will rise when other people are folding. The Bible says of Isaac that he sowed in a famine and he reaped a hundredfold in a famine. So if you move into crisis times and you want the blessing of God to be on your life, you're going to have some faith. You're going to have to be a can't do, but still do. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, I'm looking at a lot of can't do, but still have done. There's a lot of people that every time they get up, something tells them don't come to church, but they press their way anyhow. They come because their hearts are for you. God, don't leave them lonely, God. They're like the widow that just don't know how they're going to make ends meet. But God, step in and allow me to be the Elijah in the moment that speaks to them that their little oil will not fail. Their flour will not run out. They're going to go from emptiness to abundance. Because with their can't do, they're choosing to still do. And you're going to bless them in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great and a marvelous week.